the mic's live.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. It is 1:33 p.m. on Thursday, September 17th, 2020. I'm Commissioner Brian Crosius, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchuk, and Commissioner Randy Chrisman has dialed in remotely. So we have all commissioners present. This is a work session on PU-203-397 and PU-20-398. Wind energy conversion, facility lighting systems, and common pipeline carriers. Is that correct, Jack?
That's correct.
You have the two? Okay. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Fedorchuk?
I don't either.
Commissioner Chrisman?
No, I do not either.
Okay. Well, I asked for some clarity on PU-20-397. We also have the pipeline, common pipeline carriers.
Right, and I don't think that we actually noticed the meeting for that specific item because I didn't think that that needed discussion.
Okay, so that's not a discussion item?
No, I thought this was specifically for the light mitigation technology.
I did too, so I'm going to cross that off. So we'll scratch. This is not a work session on PU-20-398. So it is just related to 20-397.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I believe that other one was on the notice that I got, but I don't really have anything that I wanted to discuss on it. So, but I think it was on the notice.
I think the case number was on the notice. However, the topics to be discussed was not listed as common pipeline carrier. But we probably noticed both of the case numbers due to the fact that the notice would be for both the case numbers.
Okay, so we're good to move forward with just the one? Okay. All right. I think when we, well, just to cut to the chase, when we had the last meeting and we were going through the items, I thought the lingering item was not just related to the ICBM sites, but also the possibility or the thought of being able to change the rules, modify the rules to be able to grant exception to a facility to not have the light mitigating software installed and equipment and software installed. I thought we were going to circle back on that and have more discussion. So at this point, I'd actually like to have some additional discussion. And just to lead off, the part that I
can before you go there, Brian, because I'm confused twice now. I thought we'd already decided we were going to do this in a rule. And so what was your impression? Like, when were we going to talk about this again? What was the process that you had in mind that is now a little bit different, and we kind of had to move this on a short notice and jam it into people's calendars, which is fine. I'm trying to understand the process, yeah. So we're on the same page when we leave meetings, not reinventing things over and over again.
Well, I think jamming is a good word for it. I received notice of this yesterday, and that's when it caught my attention that, oh, we're taking a vote on this on an issue that I didn't believe was fully decided. So that was jamming it in.
Yeah, but we decided we were going to do this at the last meeting.
I never agreed to. Well,
and the meeting before that.
I perhaps miscommunicated, but I expressed my concern at the last meeting that is there any shred of testimony at all? And I would love to see one piece of testimony where the legislature had the intent of allowing the commission to grant exceptions. That's all I'm looking for. And I've asked legal, asked Jack. He doesn't believe there's anything out there. So my concern, are we stretching our authority by assuming that the legislature would be okay with this? And the part that I struggle with, frankly, it's, you know, I don't think there's anything in the language that talks about granting a wider berth of authority to the commission on something like this, even though North Dakota is one of the leaders, or actually, I believe, the leading state on this type of an approach. And, you know, perhaps it should have been recognized that since this is so new, there might be some unforeseen circumstances that arise. But I was under the impression we were going to circle back around and talk on this. When I agreed to the rule changes, I also asked, are we just talking about dates? And that was my impression. I thought the answer from Brian Johnson was, and I think he did say this, yes, we're talking about dates. It's a normal thing to remove dates, et cetera, and change the rules once we've gotten past a deadline that was already fulfilled. So
might be able to provide some clarity, because there have been a lot of meetings, and some of this legislative and some of them have been rulemaking. I'll just give you, I did go back and listen to some of the discussion just because it wasn't abundantly clear to me where we were at this point as well. And we had that original August 13th meeting, and during that meeting, staff did bring forward a draft essentially just clarifying the dates. And that was the only item from that legislative meeting that we had on there. Subsequent to that.
And was that for the rules or the legislature?
This was the first one. The August 13th was the legislative meeting.
So that's not the rules.
Right.
Okay.
In the subsequent meeting, we discussed the administrative rules. And during that one, Julie, I know you had some thoughts on proposing some rules. And we brought this up then at your request during the administrative rulemaking meeting. And during that meeting, we did have all these edits that I provided probably today in there. And there was some discussion, and I went back and listened to the three of you. And to be honest, I'll be clear, and maybe I should have been a little bit better about it, that it wasn't absolutely clear that we're going to go forward with it. I know Commissioner Krosh did provide some, express some concerns. However, between with Julie and Commissioner Chrisman, there were both expressed a strong interest in proceeding with the administrative rulemaking, at least as far as I could tell, going back and listening to that. In the subsequent meeting, now this is legislative again on September 17th, I believe is the date. Again, this topic came up because one of the items that Commissioner Chrisman brought up was changing this legislatively as well. So staff, hearing what the commissioners communicated during that meeting, thought they would bring this up then as well as with a legislative change. And we provided a draft during that meeting. And during that meeting, I think that one was clear that there was no consensus on the legislation. And so I hope that provides a little bit of background.
On the legislation and the rule? Or
just on the legislation. And at the end of that meeting, Commissioner Fedorchak, I believe that you expressed that you would like staff to push forward and begin moving forward with the rulemaking as soon as we could. And I think I even said the following week is what I expressed. And at least that's as far as recent history, that's what I can provide to the three of you.
Okay, well, then at least as far as the rules go, either we do it now or we just wait. So let's get to an agreement today. No more like we're going to talk about this again, blah, blah, blah. Either we do it or we just wait, because there's no more point in waiting if we're going to or keep talking about it if we're just going to wait for the legislature to act anyway. So I have some, I would like an opportunity to walk through why I think we have clearly the authority to do this, but I can hold off and do that at any point. So,
no, I think that's fine. I'm trying to think. I expressed the one point just searching for some piece of testimony that occurred, and I don't think one exists. And if conversations occurred, they didn't occur on the record. And I could be wrong about that. I just haven't found it. So I don't believe it exists. And then I get from the standpoint of, I think it's an assumption that the legislature would be okay with this. And is it a function of rulemaking, or is it something the legislature should tackle? But why don't you share your thoughts, though?
Okay. Well, I haven't gone through the record, you know, for all that evidence in terms of testimony, because I think it's laid out in the law that we can do this. So if you look at, I don't know you guys have just the rule. Randy, I'm sorry you don't have this, but it's 4922.16.4. Here it is, Brian. I'll just hand it to you because I'll be referencing it as it comes.
Excuse me a minute, Commissioner?
Yep. Yeah.
Matt, are you able to bring the stuff up?
If I give you this.
Do on, you know, some of the other meetings that we have, like mine with SPB and stuff, that I can see what she's talking about, or doesn't that work in this situation?
If there's a digital version of the document somewhere, I can.
Can you lead him to it, Joe?
It's online.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He's ND. And the century code 4922-16.4, I think. We'll pull it right up. Okay, they're going to try to do that, Randy.
Thanks.
So,
go ahead and continue.
Yeah, this first part is straightforward.
Yeah, I do have
So the legislature passed this law.
This one, 49-20.
And the first thing they said is the commission shall adopt rules by January 1st, 2019, relating to the implementation of light mitigating technology systems on wind energy conversion facilities. The second piece of that says the rules must be consistent with FAA regulations and must include blah, 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 blah. Okay, so we do that. And then it says by December 31st of 2019, every wind energy facility for which the commission issued a certificate prior to 2016 must be equipped with functioning light mitigating technology system that complies with the rules adopted by the commission. They could have just said functioning light mitigating technology system, period. They could have just said that. But they reference the rules, which reference the FAA administration regulations. Right above it, it says, must be consistent with FAA regulations. Now, could it have been a little more precise? Could it have captured more of the flavor of those conversations? Which, it's not just me. I've talked to a number of people from the industry who feel like this was, you know, envisioned in the legislature that the FAA regulations would be primary here and that we would have to, everything would have to comply with them. I feel like if the legislature wanted it just on everything, no matter what, they would have just said, must be equipped with functioning light mitigating technology system, period, and not reference those rules which specifically call out the FAA regulations. So those two things in combination, I feel, say that, you know, they didn't just want us to blindly say everything must have it without regard to what the FAA says. So we adopted the rules, and we didn't contemplate this. We could have, at the time when we adopted these rules, we could have envisioned this, and we could have baked these into our rules, which we didn't. So I recognize that as a gap. So I don't feel like you guys, you know, who voted in favor of that or voted against the Russo project, I don't feel like you would be in any way suggesting that you were wrong to do that by supporting changing these rules. I think you're recognizing, like, yeah, it wasn't in our rules, and here's how we fix that and address it. And so, I mean, I like the way that that Jack has submitted this. This came from an industry person and their legal team, so it's not like I'm just baking this up on my own. Why do I think we should do it? Because this is an issue that we have experience on. The legislature, in their very first, the very first direction that they gave on this issue, gave us the authority to adopt the rules on light mitigating technology. And so this is a gap. We should clarify it, and we should do it now, before the legislative session, so that our rules are clear and clean. And if the legislature wants to come in and change and further clarify in the law, they can. But they already gave us the authority to draft these rules in compliance with the FAA, and I think that we just kind of missed this piece of it in the work on, that we did on the rules, and so did the industry, because nobody brought that to our attention when we were contemplating these rules as well. So that's why I think it makes sense to do it.
Commissioner Crispin?
So, I'm just going to, while I have the mic on, just go on about several different things here that have been said. In trying to refresh myself and then listening to Jack's recollection of previous legislative and rule change meetings, I don't disagree with his assessment. And so I'll tell you how I kind of have been looking at these as these meetings have gone on. When we left that rule change meeting, I was, I guess, fine with this moving forward, and I think I expressed it, but I really didn't see what the hurry was, because my opinion was that we were going to be moving forward with this in conjunction with legislation, not instead of. But then we got to the next legislative meeting, and that didn't move forward. And so here we are now in an instead of mode, instead of in conjunction with mode. And so that kind of makes it a little different story. So then, as for doing it this way and just doing it through the rules, I think you point out some good things, but skip over some important things too. And here's why I feel strongly. I mean, I want this to happen, but I want it to happen legally and not end up in lawsuits and potentially getting overturned, which I think we would. Frankly, I think if we submit this rule change, I don't think the Attorney General is going to approve it. But that's a non-lawyer arguing the kinds of things that lawyers never seem to end their arguments over. But as I read it, the same section of law, I'm looking in number two there on 22.16.4, they said that these facilities must be equipped with a functioning light mitigating technology system that complies with the rules. It doesn't say unless the rules waive it or something like that. And that's what we're suggesting here. Because frankly, if I was a company that wanted to build a wind farm, I mean, it costs a lot of money, there's a lot of issues with their financing. Why would you turn in a good, solid application that the FAA is likely to approve? I would turn in a kind of a crummy application and get it denied, and then we would just waive it and you save that money. If we're going to do that just based on whether they get an FAA approval or not. I continue to think, though, that there's even a bigger picture, and that is the impact that these decisions could potentially have on future operations of these military installations, things that we can't foresee, and I think really cry out for legislative input on, whereby we could end up approving some of these or giving waivers on some of them and end up making some future opportunity for some of our military installations to do new things impossible because, well, now there's too many wind farms there. I just think that we should be doing the rule package in conjunction with the legislation that we discussed at the last legislative meeting. And then the timing, I think, is in less of a hurry because, frankly, if it gets approved over the winter, so it could go to that June rules committee meeting, it would become, it would be finalized about the same time as the legislation. And if the legislation is denied, then we know that after thoroughly analyzing the details of this, they meant what I think this says, that they want light mitigation technology on these. I'm done.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Randy. Commissioner Christman. Well, I think you echoed some of the things I've been thinking. Am I opposed to a change in terms of allowing exceptions? No, I'm not opposed to the change at all. As a commission, can we present a rule to this effect? Yes, we can. Should we? Again, I'm going back to, I think you have to triangulate a lot of details to make the argument that that door was open for us to grant exceptions versus what I think is a glaring omission, where it would have just been a few simple words that this is so new, what if we run into unforeseen circumstances or a company runs into unforeseen circumstances, which with something brand new and not, you almost have to expect that's going to happen, and yet there's nothing from a language standpoint and statute that takes that into account. In terms of the Russo vote, that hadn't even crossed my mind, frankly, when I've been looking at this. I can honestly say until you mentioned it, never even thought of that. So I just struggle with whether or not this is good policy. I do think it could easily be challenged by an adjacent landowner or, you know, landowners with easements. I mean, I think maybe the biggest problem I have, and it's a concern that all these other things aside, to be changing the rule or making a rule change to accommodate an active case worries me. It's concerning. We've got an active case that this directly applies to, and from a timing standpoint, even if we did put a rule forward that was unopposed, wasn't overturned by the Legislative Review Committee or the Rules Review Committee, or denied, whatever the right terminology would be or how to phrase it, could someone else come forward and say, you don't have the authority to do that? And does that actually make things a lot worse in the end or not? And I think there's that risk. And then, you know, from a timing standpoint, you know, the reality is they're not going to break ground. You know, if it were approved in, what, January, Jack?
Excuse me.
If it were approved in January...
The rules?
Yeah, let's just say we put it in, and that's one path. Yeah, the rule goes forward. Mm-hmm. You know, if it were approved, it would still be January, correct?
If we went through the whole process, and they went through the approval process within the next two weeks, they may be able to be published in January.
Maybe. But that's the earliest. It would happen regardless. It might be April, depending on if it made the next deadline or not.
I think it'd be March.
The legislature acted.
Maybe April.
And we worked in conjunction. I mean, if they saw a pressing need at that point, they could put an emergency clause as a part of this to speed up the effective date to even May 1st or June 1st. And, you know, from an earth-moving standpoint, it all happens with... Of course, we'd have to go through the process, at least part of the process again, I would imagine, with the Russo application, or just rule on it at that point, I guess, or vote on it at that point.
That would be up to the commission at that point, how to proceed.
I don't know if it really changes a lot. So is this the right time to do something like this when we've got an active case? And again, as I said, I think a lack of testimony that would make me more comfortable doing it at this point.
Well, I think we're done then. We can put this to bed, let the legislature make the decision.
Commissioner Christman, anything further?
Well, again, I'll reiterate that I continue to think we should proceed with the legislation. But if we do, then I think we should proceed with this too, because we ultimately would want the rules to go along with it, but there would be less. I'm not talking about trying to make their December meeting, and I'm talking about so that it would move forward and kind of follow the timeline of legislation.
We wouldn't have any idea how to draft the rule, because the way you guys are contemplating this, the legislature does want the light mitigating technology to be a determining factor on whether we or not we grant a site certificate. And that's a very different rule to write. So we can't go ahead with the rules until the legislature clarifies that. So there's no point in doing any of that work until the legislature weighs in based on what you guys are saying. So I think we just wait.
Well, I continue to think that the legislation that we have discussed previously makes clear that the law would allow for these waivers. And so then this rule change, I think, works hand in hand with it. Do you, Jack, am I misunderstanding? Because I don't have now that proposed legislation in hand, but wasn't that kind of that simple, just adding some language in for waivers and that this would match it?
I believe, as is currently drafted, they probably would run concurrently. But, of course, I think as to what Julia is noting, that if, of course, it changes.
Yeah, if they don't go along with it.
Right, if a notable alteration to our own legislation as we propose it could make our rules essentially moot. Or subsequently, as she said, if we do promulgate the rules and we're kind of at the point of publication and the legislature refuses or chooses not to enact a statute with our clarifications, that may be a strong indication that would cause the commission some concern that that is our rules now are not consistent with the legislative intent.
Well, if it turns out that the legislation goes a whole different direction or is voted down and not passed, and then we have a clear message of the legislature's intent for sure. These rules packages can always be derailed, even like once it's approved by the Attorney General. It's still up to us to submit it to the Administrative Rules Committee, was my understanding. And so I think we could get the initial stages of moving forward.
I would agree with that. I could at least advance the ball.
You guys are so confusing.
So
either because you're saying on one hand we shouldn't go forward with the rules because you think that the legislature might indeed have intended for the light mitigating technology to be a defining factor in the site selection. If that's true, then we want to know that before we develop rules that allow an exception to that. I mean, that's the whole point of, that's what's missing in our rules now. Otherwise, they're fine.
To say what their intent was not my intention. I'm just going by what they wrote, and I don't think it is as clear as you evaluate it to be. That they're allowing for this. I think we put that bill forward, and I think that based on what I've seen out of the legislature on previous wind development issues, I think they'll pass it in the New York minute.
I don't feel strongly. I just think it's kind of a waste of time working on a rule package for a law that hasn't been passed yet, but
it's a valid argument, obviously. Well, from a legislative standpoint, Randy, would that speed the process up, though? If the legislature were to concur with changing statute and then having, and this could be for you as well, Jack, but Randy, you were in the legislature. Would it move the timeline up so they could actually look at an emergency clause to bump up the implementation date?
I think there's a possibility of that. I mean, the difference really then gets down to something that some rules that might take effect in March or April instead of June or July, and then legislation whenever the second house would vote on and the governor sign it, as opposed to August 1st, I guess. So we're really only talking about a few months. So I don't know if they would do the emergency clause. If we propose legislation, we could include it in the bill if we wanted.
I would think the industry could advocate for the emergency clause if it's something they want done faster.
Correct.
Seems like an opportunity.
That can always be added along the way.
So what I feel like I'm hearing that we staff will not be proceeding with the administrative rules for the time being. However, the commission is interested in proceeding with legislative changes.
Sure.
Okay. Anything else, Commissioner Crisman?
No, I do not.
Here. Okay. Commissioner
Nothing
Pilichek?
For me.
Okay. I don't have anything further as well. Thank you, Jack. Thanks, everyone.
Hey, one thing, if I'm still coming through, thanks a lot, Matt, for getting the legislation brought up. I think that's the first time we've done this on one of these, and it was really helpful to have the exact words in front of me, so appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.